Manhattan. The greatest comebacks begin here.
And Kathy Dawes again, along with Director of Partnership Development with Homeland Security and NBAF, Marty Venier, again, 537-1350. And we were, of course, focusing our discussion earlier on the Blue Ribbon panel on biodefense that was in town just last week. I know you continue to work with the community, too, and I think you had a meeting with them just about the same time frame as all this. Everything that could happen did happen last week for you, Marty.
Yes, it was a crazy week. But we did have the CLG meeting. It followed immediately after the Blue Ribbon Commission meeting. It was really nice because in the CLG we were able to, they had asked for some information, some additional information on where we were in NBAF project, in progress with NBAF, and we were able to bring them that information, and then I talked to them a little bit about what we think the research program is going to be, and I'll explain that in just a second. But we were able to give the community liaison group an update on construction progress, which for anybody who's now driving up and down Denison, you can actually see stuff up out of the ground, and laboratory walls are being poured. So that's exciting. We were talking to them about construction staffing numbers and building staffing numbers once the building's up on the ground, because I know a lot of people are concerned about that. The construction contractor has done a really good job of being able to project how many people are going to be here when. They have this like ginormous schedule called this... it's their schedule of every little thing that has to happen during construction. And as they get further in the construction, they can begin to project when certain activities are going to take place. Like when do we pour this wall, or when do we install that door? You know, those schedule of activities. And so when I say it's ginormous, the schedule of activities is projected to be, by the time it's all over, by the time you add up every little activity that happened to build that building, we're talking 30,000 activities. So when I say it's a ginormous schedule, it is. So part of that is understanding when you need people on the site to do what things. So they've been really good about being able to project that, and I know a lot of people have seen those numbers in the height of construction, which will come up in another year-ish, when the outside walls are up and you're starting to work on the inside and you're pulling wire and you're installing doors and windows and whatever, you know, everything that's going on inside the building, then we're going to have approximately, depending on any given day, 800 to maybe 1,000 people there. So it's a lot of people. A lot of folks are concerned about how's that going to work. The construction manager was able to pull together some information that identified how many people are actually residents here in Manhattan, how many people are going to, in essence, commute in from surrounding areas. So that could be Wamego or Marysville or Abilene or Council Grove or Salina or wherever, but there are folks who literally will commute in. There are people who will kind of be here temporarily and will take up, for instance, some hotel rooms. So now you're dealing with how many people are actually here in town, how many people are driving in, we have to find parking for. And all of that is being handled by each individual subcontractor. So they are managing their particular stable of people who are coming in to complete their part of the project. But the overall contractor could provide some of that data for the CLG to see, so that they could begin to, given that we have, you know, city and county folks on the committee, they could begin to see what those numbers are and could begin to think about some of the ramifications. So that's important for them to know. So we were able to help them understand some of that data. One of the other things that was discussed in the meeting before I got there was where we are in some of our contract acquisitions. And what that means is the federal government does a lot of work by contracting. So if you think about just building the building, you know, we have a design partnership that's a contractor. We have the construction manager who's a contractor who's got all these subs underneath them that are doing work. Well, the government also does contracting for things like our operational planning. So it's a little like you're building a house and you move in and you got to figure out how to get the kids up and out the door to school every day. So that's the operation. So because this is going to be a very complex building, you want to start some of that planning ahead of time. You already know what the building is going to look like. You already know what's going to be in it. So now let's talk about how do researchers get in the door, what door, what do they have to do to get in the door, what is the literal route they're going to walk to get to their laboratory, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
A lot of moving pieces, and not your average construction project. I mean,
this is correct. So that's why all of this is going on. So we've got an operational contract, operational planning contract that is in acquisition right now. So there's not too much I can say about it, but that is currently in acquisition, meaning that people have sent in proposals to perform that contract. The second contract is the actual operations. The first one is operational planning. The second contract is actual operations. So the important thing that happened a couple of weeks ago is the first salvo came out, and it's called the RFI, the Request for Information. So what DHS has done is that they've gone out to the world and sent out this notice and said, we intend to execute a contract to operate this building. And here are the things that you need to know about the building. Here are the things that we think are, you know, that we intend to have happen in the building. Here are some things that we think we want the contractor to perform for us. Now, all of you out in the world who may be interested in this, write us back. Tell us if you're interested. Ask any questions you have to ask. Give us any comments about everything that we have shown you to date about how we want this building operated. Are we on the right track? Are we on the wrong track? Is there a state of the art that we're not acknowledging and aware of? Write us back and let us know. So all of that information will get gathered. It'll get analyzed. There will be further announcements that will come out. There will likely be meetings with potential proposers to help answer questions and clarify issues. Then eventually there will be a deadline for proposals to be submitted. That then goes in acquisition, which is a very specific phrase for the government. So once that happens, we can't talk about it anymore, because at that point then everybody who's applied, all of those applications are being vetted and a decision is made. And we have to be silent when all of that's happening. But the first RFI, request for information, has gone out. So we're expecting lots and lots and lots of information back, lots of questions, lots of comments. So that'll be a huge effort that will be going on now for the next 8 or 10 months for sure.
Now, obviously, you do have to be very careful when you're talking about plans of this nature. I understand that. But will we be able to know anything at all, like the numbers involved or who seems interested or kind of how the process is going? Will there be anything released at all or pretty hush-hush?
Well, there'll be a certain amount of that that's public, and you can go to the site. It's released at a site called FedBizOps, FedBizOps. So anybody can go to FedBizOps and can search for NBAF and can see what information is public. And so that's essentially, so for people who do government contracting, you know, they look at FedBizOps every day, because stuff comes out. I mean, the entire government posts everything on FedBizOps, so it's huge and lots of information. So you can go look at it, and whatever is allowed to be public will be on that site. So the announcement went out. We know that there are certain entities that are that know that this is coming, and we know they're looking for it. So they've clearly picked it up and taken a look at it.
And then it's just kind of up to them to put it together and ask the right questions and go from there.
That's right.
Well, I guess we've covered a lot of territory today. I don't know if there's anything else you're wanting to highlight. We've already kind of run through the time here, Marty, but anything else?
Not at the moment. I think when I'm back next month, I'll be able to talk to you a little bit about a visit that I will make to Plum Island later this month. That is important for moving ahead with our MBAF program, and we'll see what comes up between now and then.
Looks like March 2nd, then. We might hear more from you then. I appreciate you stopping by. Marty Vanier with us today, Director of Partnership Development with Homeland Security and NBAF. We'll take a break, and Governor's Military Council Executive Director Perry Wiggins joining us next. You're listening to In Focus.